first point.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, April the 19th, 2016. I currently have 7 p.m. I'd like to welcome all of you to our meeting tonight. First thing we need to do is our invocation, which will be given by Councilmember Bailey, followed by our pledge, which will be given by Councilmember Crawley. So we will approve minutes after that. Mr. Bailey.
Our beloved Father in Heaven, we give thee thanks at this time for this opportunity we have to meet as a community and discuss the issues and of the area that we live in. We thank thee for the officers that protect us and especially Officer Diego, that he and his family are able to come here tonight. We ask that it please bless our community and those that reside in it and visit it. We once again thank thee for everything and these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Could the audience please arise?
Repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Crawley. We need to approve tonight's agenda, so if someone would like to make a motion to approve it as is or amend, I'll take that now.
I move that we approve it as is.
Okay, I have a motion to approve it as is. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion's been seconded by Mr. Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Next item is public comments. This is where we set aside time each meeting for residents or anyone to discuss their ideas, their concerns, or comments. We can have up to 3 minutes per person. We allocate 30 minutes for this. I've only got one person that has signed up this evening, Jason Haar. So, Mr. Haar, if you'd like to come forward, state your name and your address, and you will have 3 minutes.
Thank you. So, Jason Haar, 10483 North Mesquite Way, Cedar Hills, Utah. Simply, we just wanted to make it public that we wanted to thank all of you for your attention and time spent on the issue that's on the agenda of the driving range golf balls. So we just wanted to say thanks for all the effort that's been put in and time, and we really appreciate it. And simply, it's one last time, given that we live so close to the issue, it's our opinion that raising the nets is a great thing for the community to keep the public safe. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Haar. Okay. Next item is a recognition item. It's an action item where we are adopting a resolution that recognizes, as a Cedar Hills champion, American Fork Police Officer Diego Garcia. Mr. Garcia does not live in Cedar Hills, however, he certainly works for the police force that we contract with, and we want to recognize him for his outstanding efforts on behalf of a resident within the American Fork Police area. So we have been so pleased with our relationship with American Fork Police for a long time, and we appreciate all the hard work that they do. We recognize some of our friends in blue that are here tonight and the time that they have taken away from what they're doing to come and be with us. So what I would like to do is first welcome the Garcia family, and I'm going to read our resolution, and then we're going to formalize that. I would like to just for a moment tell you a little bit about Mr. Garcia's actions and why that is something that we feel like we would like to recognize. And it was not just us that recognized this. And so Mr. Garcia has been recognized recently by the Utah Chiefs of Police Association annual conference, which was held in St. George, Utah. And the Chief of Police Association only selects six officers each year to receive their prestigious award, and Mr. Garcia received it this year. And so I'd like to tell you a little bit about what he did. And so I don't have the exact date, but on probably a routine evening, where he was working. He received a call of what he probably considered a typical suicidal situation. And as he investigated that, he understood that the person in question was not there, and her family was concerned and felt like this may be a serious attempt to end her life. And so he did not know where she was, but he did know what her car looked like and also the license plate. So my understanding is he drove around Northern Utah County, hotels, various places where she may be, finally found her car at a hotel, and the door was unresponsive, so he was able to get the hotel staff to open the door, where he found the woman on her bed. She had slit her wrists. Pictures of her family were on bedside table, and if he had not gone above and beyond to try and find this woman, then she probably would not be alive today. And so we know that these men and women do outstanding work for us every single day, and they're not recognized nearly enough, in my opinion. And so thank you so much, all of you guys, for what you do. But tonight, Officer Garcia, this is about you. And so I'm going to read a resolution. Council then is going to vote on that, and then we'd like to take some pictures. And Lieutenant Lydiard and our friends in blue, if you wouldn't mind joining us as well. Is that okay? All right. A resolution recognizing Police Officer Diego O. Garcia as a Cedar Hills champion for his outstanding commitment to excellence, his service and leadership as a police officer, and his dedication to his profession. Whereas the City of Cedar Hills wishes to fully recognize the dedication and discipline devoted to his career as a police officer, and whereas Officer Garcia's diligence and heroic efforts led to the rescue of a Utah County woman who had attempted suicide, and whereas Officer Garcia was recently awarded Officer of the Year for medium-sized agencies by the Utah Chiefs of Police Association, a prestigious award that is only given to 6 officers each year, and whereas Officer Garcia exemplifies the traits, abilities, and the drive that inspire others in our community to pursue their own personal goals and dreams, now therefore be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, and on behalf of all residents, hereby proclaims that April 20th, 2016, be recognized as Cedar Hills Champion Officer Diego O. Garcia Day. With this, the City of Cedar Hills wishes to recognize and sincerely thank Officer Garcia for the dedication, inspiration, and example that he has provided to our community. Passed, and the council will now vote on this, and so if someone would like to make a motion on this, a resolution, I will take that. I'll take comments from the council after.
I move that we approve Resolution 4-19-2016A, a resolution recognizing Officer Diego O. Garcia as a Cedar Hills champion for his outstanding commitment to excellence, his service and leadership as a police officer, and his dedication to his profession.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Zappala seconded that. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Officer Garcia, the motion was unanimous. Would like now to take some pictures. So Lieutenant Lydiard and all of our friends, if you wouldn't mind joining us over there, we'll take some pictures. Officer Garcia, if you and your family would like to join us, council. Oh, by the way, I would like council to say something. I know that's what you want to do.
I just wanted to take a moment to thank you, Officer Garcia, for all of your efforts and just echo what Mayor Gee said. We really, really appreciate our relationship with everybody on American Fort Police Department. It has been a fantastic relationship. You guys do a fantastic job for us. And so thank you. And after the rest of the council, I just wanted us to all give Officer Garcia a round of applause.
Any other council members that would like to say something?
Ditto.
Ditto. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Let's go take some pictures. Probably never stopped, did we?
It stopped.
Are we back again? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Lieutenant Lydiard from American Fork Police Department. Our good friend would like to say a few words. So if the council could listen in, please.
I sat here for several years but never made any comments. But Officer Garcia is one of our top officers. He's a SWAT officer. He's also a NOVA instructor. So not only is the impression that he's a tough officer with SWAT, but he's also in the elementary schools with our children. He does an excellent job, and the police department is very proud of him, and thank you for giving him this honor. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you all. Okay, moving on. Our next item is our consent agenda, and looks like we have minutes from two meetings, the March 1st, 2016, and March 15th, 2016, City Council meetings. Someone like to make a motion on the consent agenda? I will take that.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Let's move on to city reports and business, starting from my left. Mr. Bunker, go ahead.
So just a couple of things. This Saturday is the Cedar Hills Spring Cleanup Day and Service Project Day, and so that is going to be happening. Oh, excuse me, May 14th. Yes. Excuse me.
Are we talking about the Parks and Trails, or are we talking about the dumpsters?
Parks and Trails. I was referencing Parks and Trails, but the spring cleanup is going on now. There are dumpsters in a couple of locations in the city, and so residents are requested to only put the approved items in the dumpsters. We've been seeing some mattresses and different kinds of objects next to the dumpsters.
What is approved?
So what you can put limbs, yard debris, things like that, no tires, no washer and dryers, mattresses, things like that are not approved.
No hazardous materials.
Hazardous materials are not approved. So we just want to help our residents clean up their yards and make things tidy within reason. So we are going to have a project on 4000 West this next week or two. We are stubbing in sewer laterals to three existing homes on 4000 West that will be boundary adjusting to Cedar Hills. So that project will happen on 4000 West. Then in addition to that, the city office is currently on an ejector pump, and that will be eliminated, and we will tie in a gravity line for the sewer line at the city hall. So that is much anticipated. And we have not had a TSSD meeting, so that's all I have.
Real quick, on the Pleasant Grove homes, did Pleasant Grove approve their boundary adjustment?
So that's being processed now as well. Their final meeting is on, I believe, May 1st.
Okay, I'm going to call an audible and call on Mr. Goodwin. By the way, congratulations on your baby.
Thank you.
Last time we had a brief discussion on a deck that was a source of confusion, but there were some members that weren't here. So I want you to tell the council what direction has been given to the homeowner, and what it is, and what action you think the city should take at this point.
Okay, so the city sent out, I believe we sent out the background information to the entire council involving the situation, going back to April of last year, where we were notified, the city was notified that there was a construction there's a planned construction from a Blue Stakes report. When we get these Blue Stakes reports, we go out and see what the project is and what kind of permit needs to be filed. In this case, it was a deck that was planned. It was on, what is the name of that street?
Sawgrass,
thank you. And these homes that back up to Sawgrass, where they face south, they're on the north side of the road, their homes are adjacent to what's called a slope failure zone, and you can see that on the plat map. And the slope failure zone actually in some of these cases goes right up to the back of the foundation. The homes themselves are not in the slope failure zone, but the geotech report from the Cedars West subdivision identified this area as a potential hazard, and they recommended that no homes be built in the slope failure zone, and the plat went so far as to say no structures should be allowed in the slope failure zone. In the case of this deck, the deck was constructed without a permit, without city approval, without any site plan approval, and on multiple occasions the city gave notification to the homeowner and the developer, or the deck installer, the contractor, of what process they needed to go through in order to get a deck. They went ahead and built the deck anyway. And in this case, the deck has multiple foundation or multiple footings that are in this slope failure zone. The deck is attached to the home. And the city's concern is that in the event of a landslide, the deck will go down the hill and the deck will pull part of the house down the hill. So that's a major concern for the city. The other concern is by choosing to turn a blind eye to this, we're setting a precedent that we're going to allow foundations, we're going to allow footings in this where this is not a desirable location for these kind of structures. So at this point, the city has given them the deck, the contractor, and the homeowner multiple options on what they can do as far as reconfiguring their deck so that it would be in compliance. To date, they have not submitted any plans or any sort of documentation that shows that they intend to be in compliance. So the city feels that we need to give them a date by which they should comply. And if they are not in compliance at that point, the city would file a notice of intent on the property, meaning that anytime they go to refinance or sell, a realtor should notice that there's something wrong with this property, that the city has identified a problem with this property that needs to be rectified before they could go forward with any sort of refinancing or any sort of sell. So that's kind of where we are. Are there any questions as far as that's concerned?
So if we file a notice of intent, we will let them know, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, counsel, with any questions.
So what options have we given them?
We've given them the option of what's called the ability to cantilever out over into the slope failure zone where the deck's being supported by the home's foundation, not an individual foundation that is solely for the deck. They would build what's called a concrete haunch onto the home's foundation where the home would be supporting the deck, and they could go out in that direction. They're limited as far as how far out they can use that, but it is an option that they can use, and then they could go down to almost ground level and put a cement pad. We would allow cement pads in this area as they're not defined as a structure in international business or international building code. So we've given them multiple options, but to date they just have not been willing to submit any sort of plan to fix the problem. I think they just want the city to just say, okay, what you have here is approved. And as the building inspector, I know Jeff has a lot of reservations with what they've done as the zoning inspector and our code enforcement. I refuse to put my name on this deck in case, in the event of a slide, I don't want it to come back and see that I was the one that approved this. I'm very uncomfortable with the structure as it sits right now.
Any other questions from council members?
So what is the date that we're going to do that?
We have not given them. We've been waiting to have... what was planned was a discussion with the council, so that's what we're doing right now, but... if the council's okay with the decision of staff to proceed with a notification of compliance, giving them a certain amount of time to comply, and if they fail to comply by that date, then the notice of intent isn't filed, that's what we'll do tomorrow. We can send out that letter. We'd send that out certified mail, make sure they receive it, and at that point, they give them timeline.
Okay.
So I have a question to staff as well. So I read everything that you sent, and I think a little bit of this could be cleared up in terms of semantics, because I think we define, I don't think it's UBC that defines the structure, right?
That's city ordinance.
City ordinance.
And building code defines that as a structure.
So my only question with that is, it's a little bit unclear from a 1999 geotech report as to what they really mean by a structure. And I kind of think the intent, at least my opinion was, the intent was a home built in that area. I kind of have a problem with, I don't consider a deck any different than a patio, a concrete poured patio.
I guess that's a good point, but let me counter that. The geotech report does specifically say homes. Now,
right.
The plat specifically says structure. which would be stricter of the two. However, by allowing a foundation or by allowing footings in this case, we are setting a precedent for the neighbor, and some of those lots are very deep, for saying, well, I want to do an outbound building, and you let
right.
a footing
no,
in the foundation.
No, I looked at the plat map.
Case,
some of those are like 158
well.
Feet or 160. I mean, they're deep, deep.
They are. And so our concern is, if we allow a footing or a foundation here, where do we stop? At what point is it too dangerous?
That's kind of my question, because I think...
So that's why we would err on the side of caution.
If they had poured a patio, which it's the same effect, in my opinion.
Mike,
so,
I thought it was different, because the way staff explained it to me was because of the way they've built this, if there is a slide and the deck goes, it pulls the house with it.
Well...
Am I wrong on that?
I don't see a deck ever pulling a house off, personally.
Pulling portions
I think,
of the house, it could.
The
difference, though, is that with a cement pad, it's spread out over the area of the pad, and it's not being put down into the ground, whereas the footing or a foundation is actually being dug into the slope failure, deeper into the ground. So
yeah.
there's a difference there. And that's why we would allow a pad, and that's why we've given them options of what they can do.
No, I understand. I understand the options. I just don't think they're necessarily fair to this. That, don't get me wrong. The person should have come in first with a permit and got a permit.
Yeah.
But... I mean, this is just a little bit the builder in me. I mean, it's a little bit semantics. I mean, we allow a patio, and a patio can be tied into the house just as much. I mean, I can rebar that into my house. Deck slides off. It could pull the house just as much as ledger locks or lag bolts on a right?
Right.
And the other thing they could do is not attach it to the house. And you're talking about footings, and these are pier footings, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about maybe a 24 by 24 inch pier footing, and there's probably 8 or 9 of them. I don't even know, 6 something. So it seems a little overkill to me to take this harsh of a measure against, you know, a resident. But it's my opinion. And I'm not going to... You know, argue with. I can argue with Jeff all I want. I've argued with Jeff on lots of things, but. You sure? I'd love your comment.
Please do come up to the mic.
At the beginning, they did approach the city for a permit. I wanted to make that clear. Now, the permit was denied, and the reason given, and they proceeded to build the deck anyway. And there may have been some miscommunication somewhere along the line that's been alleged. So that's neither here nor there on that. Part of the issue that we see as the building department is that the building code is to protect persons and property. And there was a reason why they said structures that would be lost. And concrete patio, sidewalks, et cetera, we consider to be... ground stabilization, so you're not walking in the mud or standing in the wet dirt, whatever. But the perspective on it is how far do we go when it says a structure? If somebody wanted to put a swimming pool in, or a radio tower, a shed, and so there is some discrepancy on that part, and it's some interpretation. The letter of the codes specify that a deck is a structure, and the plat says no structures are allowed there. So that's simple letter of the law. However, like you say,
but a structure.
Yeah.
A structure is usually defined as a habitable space as well.
And as Chandler has said, you know, we wouldn't. I mean. The building department has said, you're in violation, remove the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming back and saying, well, if you don't remove the deck, we're going to put a notice on the title. They're still going to be able to use the deck. They'll utilize it. They'll get some value out of it. And we've met with the homeowner twice. He has not paid for the deck because the permit was not. He ordered the deck on... contingent that they got the permit.
Mm.
And so there's there is that aspect of the situation where this is a development between the contractor and the homeowner also. The homeowner has stated to us he's not opposed to removing the deck. And so there's just some clarification on where we're at as far as the building department goes on this situation.
So I understand the city's position on it. So I think, given everything I've heard, the action that we would take puts the onus back on the city or on the owner without any tacit approval by the city.
Correct.
Right?
That's.
I think that's a little harsh, but I think I would agree with that at this point.
Mr. Shaw, are you familiar with this issue?
Very familiar.
Can you weigh in?
I think the city's position is absolutely justified. A permit was not only encouraged but directed, and the homeowner went forward without it. And now, whether it was the homeowner or the contractor, it's one and the same. From the city's perspective, it may not be from their perspective. They may have a dispute between them. But it's a dispute that we shouldn't kind of step into to try and be the mediator or the arbiter in any context. So the city's position is justified. I do understand what Mr. Geddes is saying. And it's basically a position of lighter penalty, lighter enforcement measures. And the city could certainly go that way and still be justified. But to do nothing when the city knows it was built and knows that it is in the slide zone, if something were to happen, the likelihood is that we would face some challenge. I don't know that we would lose that challenge, but we would face a challenge.
Okay, so let me ask a question. This discussion came up as part of city business, not as part of an agenda item.
Correct.
And it's not an action item, so we can't create a statute of any sort. Can the council give direction to staff, or do we need to bring this back in 2 weeks and formalize it?
Bring it back.
Okay.
It's discussion only at this point.
Very good. Then council would like to bring this back in 2 weeks as an action item for you guys to give formal direction to the staff.
Mayor, I guess I want to interject there because it's not clear to me. We've always run meetings in the past where we've taken consensus from the council and said, staff, we'd like you to do this, and we don't need to vote since we're not creating an ordinance here and we're not adopting a resolution. So can we not simply turn to David and say, make this happen if this is what we agree to do?
We can certainly give advice, but you can't take action.
Well, that was my question, is if we could give some direction to staff.
Direction, yes, but you can't take a vote on it.
I understand that. So, council, I need you to give some direction to staff. Staff would like to notify the homeowner of a certain date that if they do not comply, that a notice of intent will be filed on their property for their failure to get a permit and construct a deck.
And I think that's within their guidelines as staff to do that. So we're not really, they can do that.
They're asking for some direction.
And I think
what they're wanting to do is say, is there anybody here who strenuously disagrees, and is there a majority of the council that would disagree with that?
Right.
And I would say I'm on board with
that. And I voiced my opinion, but I think I agree that this is probably reasonable action.
Okay, so it's easier asked, is there anyone that opposes to what staff would like to do?
I'm not opposed to it, but I think after hearing what Mike had to say, though I will readily admit a lot of it went over my head since I'm not a developer. But I think it would be good maybe for Mike to talk to staff a little bit more about what your concerns are and see if there's changes that we need to make moving forward, not for this particular instance, but moving forward if we're being too strict on something.
Okay. Mike, you okay with that?
Yeah. And I've had some discussion already, so thanks.
Okay. Good. Let's move on. Thank you, Chandler, for your input on that.
Yeah.
Mr. Zavala, you are next.
Yes. So the main thing I have to report on is, as you know, we've been revising our city code with respect to our commercial zone, and I have emailed all of you the latest version of that. At this point, we are waiting for a couple of things to happen. One is we're waiting for a second round of legal review from our legal team. We're waiting on myself to add some additional detail on the colonial theme for architecture. I want to take some of the direction we've given to past applicants and make sure that that's specified clearly in our code so that they have a better sense of our expectations there. I'm also going to incorporate some wording on outdoor storage that has been in all of our development agreements with other developers, and so we want to make sure to codify that since we've been doing that regularly. Chandler is working on a revision or addition to code for the conditional use permit process. I believe Mr. Shaw is working on a revision for the Board of Adjustments process and the appeals process. We also need some minor code revisions anywhere in our code where it refers to planned commercial developments to harmonize that with the changes we've been making, and we need to make some changes to our general plan to harmonize that with the changes we've been making. So I'm working with Chandler on both of those last two items as well.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Mr. Goodwin, I have a couple of questions for you. Last time I think we chatted about this, it was mentioned we needed to have public hearings.
Have you seen?
What's that?
Those have been noticed.
They have been noticed. And the Planning Commission is on the 26th when they're meeting, and that will be a public hearing, correct?
Yes.
And then the City Council will have a public hearing on the first meeting in May. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe
okay.
So.
Is there anything that the Council needs to do in advance of those public hearings?
No, just read your packet and make sure that you understand what we're discussing, because we don't have a lot of time to send this back for revision, so we'll need to just do this in one shot.
Give me changes in advance.
Most important thing you said there was read the packet.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Mrs. Reese, time's yours.
So Family Festival Committee is working hard. We still need a lot of volunteers, so if you can help me make residents aware that we're looking for volunteers, that would be great. The form to become a volunteer is on the city's website, as well as all of the list of events. And I have all of your shirts, so those will go on to the Family Festival Committee to be ordered. Parks and Trails Committee is meeting this Thursday, and I can't attend. I did send an email out to the council, and I haven't heard back. So if there is anyone who
can
take my place, they meet at 6.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. So Daniel's going to go to Parks and Trails Committee meeting for me. And then I just wanted to talk about communications a little bit. So I met with Daniel. I know that during the retreat we talked about hiring a part-time communications person. And I think Rob, maybe you said that you missed part of that. So we talked about what that person would do, and I know it's listed in the tentative budget, but I know that there are some council members that have some concerns with that. So I sat down with Daniel, and we discussed, since he's been working on communications with me the last couple of years, we discussed what really our goals for communications are, and those four goals are really just to help keep residents in the county informed about important city events, improve transparency in government, collect feedback from residents on important city decisions, and improve communication among staff and elected officials. So we discussed how we would envision this occurring, and I'm just going to pass this out to all of the council members, because what I would like from you is this feedback. Daniel and I have discussed that if the council has some concerns with hiring a part-time communications person, we are willing to take these responsibilities upon our shoulders and get this done. We would like feedback and input from the council on these priorities. A lot of them are things that we had already talked about in the past. And Daniel and I have agreed that these are things that we have time to focus on and commit to if the council is on board with having us do that, which means we would not need to hire that part-time communications person. I believe we had budgeted about $20,000 in the budget to go towards hiring that individual, and that money could then be put back into the budget, especially as we're talking about raising those the driving range fence tonight as well. So I would just ask for the council to maybe review these, see if you disagree with our goals for communication. Let us know if you have any other things that you'd like to add to it. And if you are fine not hiring someone to handle these, just supporting Daniel and I on taking on these responsibilities and getting these things done. One of the things that I've heard over and over, especially interestingly, as I went to the county convention last Saturday, was just residents expressing over and over again a desire for greater transparency in government in general, whether that's at the city level, the county level, the state level. And with technology nowadays, people are expecting easy access to information at the government level. They want to see meetings hosted online. They want to be able to see council packets. They want to know, they want to be able to go to one location to find out what's going on in the city or the county. So as Daniel and I talked about it, we thought that these 10 things would be a good start to get us to where we were hoping this part-time communications person could get us.
Does any council member have questions on this?
I like it. I like that we are considering not hiring someone, because I think that it's our responsibility to help keep residents informed as council members.
So the big thing for me would be if the council's on board with that, because like I said, it does save that money, and then we can put that back into the budget to use for something else, would just be having the support of the council. So if Daniel and I are going to these meetings, or we are posting to Facebook, not political things, it's all just events and things like that, but that we have the support of the council as we're trying to get these things done. Sometimes that's been an issue in the past.
I think people want to know political things too.
What's that?
You said, I see what you're saying.
On the city's Facebook page, yeah. It's non-political. It's all just information.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
I think this is a great idea.
Daniel?
So are you, you have in item number 3, record all city council meetings. Is this audio or is this video?
So this is something we did a couple of meetings. We had a video camera here and we recorded it, and I think it was Chandler who was putting it on the YouTube channel, and I know that was taking a lot of Chandler's time because it takes a long time to upload a video of that size to YouTube. However, other cities are hosting their meetings online. I know American Fork is now live streaming. It's actually pretty cool. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It's very cool. Pleasant Grove is also now live streaming on YouTube. I don't think we're at the time yet where we're ready to live stream. I think that's something Daniel and I would like to research. But in the meantime, we could still record them, and then Daniel and I are willing to be the ones to upload it because we can do it from home, and that way it doesn't take up staff's time to upload it.
So are you guys going to research the cost of live streaming?
Yes, and we'll bring that back to the council.
Great. Any other questions about this? I think this is a great.
No, but I like the idea of live streaming rather than uploading.
Yeah.
There is a cost to it, and I think that's our only issue.
There is, but I like that idea.
Mayor, Mr. Sherry, you want to say something?
Yeah, if I might. We have a very robust internet connection at our office. I'd be happy to offer the services of my admin to do that if someone was going out.
Okay.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you.
So, Daniel, did you want to, you helped me put this together. Did you want to add to it? Add your thoughts?
I think my main thought with respect to this is something I believe very strongly in, is having a high degree of transparency communication with our residents. I think it makes or breaks how well we do as a city. I don't think we can accomplish anything else as a city if we're not communicating well between ourselves and with residents. For me personally, because responsibilities have changed in other areas of my life, I have time that I can take this on. For me, it's very similar to what we said last fall when we said, well, we need to revise our city code and that's going to be expensive. We might have to hire someone for it. And Jenny and I jumped in and said, well, we could do it. We have time to do it. And I think we did. We've got a pretty good product we put together. So I think as I look forward to, you know, the next year or so of service, yeah, I feel like I do have time that I could put into to help make this work, and it would save the city some money. I would like to hear from our staff as to, you know, as they review this list, whether they think there's things that need to be added or responsibilities changed or what their opinions are on this particular plan.
Just as a point on the video recording, I actually really like the idea. Is the problems for us was logistics. It was our internet connection, which we've actually switched, so we maybe have the capability to do it now from our in-house. We wouldn't need to send that out to anyone else. We haven't tried it. But one thing that would be concerning to me was the quality of the video. We're using one of those little handy cams, which is great for a little family Christmas party. But for something like this, it was just a grainy photo that was really not worth putting up. And the audio is really bad as well. So I would encourage, if this is a route that the council wants to go, I would encourage the council to look into purchasing probably a nicer camera in order to do that with.
Okay. Mrs. Reese, you have anything else?
No, I agree with that.
Okay. Very good. I don't think there was any objections to this, at least not voiced by the council. So I think that's a go for both of you guys to proceed on this. Next, we have not had a finance meeting. I know we have one coming up. I'll report back on that once we do. And that's all I have. Mr. Bailey.
The only thing that I have is I just want to publicly recognize the city manager, David, and Jeff and their crew for Sunday's water leak and the time spent. Over my career, I've worked for 14 city managers, and I've never seen one actually get as dirty as David was on Sunday, and Jeff, and everybody was dirty. I really appreciate the hard work you guys did, and just want to give you a shout out.
Thank you. Mr. Geddes.
I agree with Ben. Thank you, guys. I did attend the Utah Valley Dispatch meeting last Thursday. The new building is well underway down in Spanish, so if you want to see it, it's pretty cool. There's a few issues going on with some of the stuff they're putting inside it, like the big monitors and stuff, but they're working through that. Everything should be okay. I did get the preliminary budget for next year. I think David gets CC'd on those too, but it looks like the Utah Valley Dispatch is up slightly from last year, like minor. So make sure we include that before we finalize our budget. That's it.
Mr. Crawley.
I have nothing today.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to move on then to item number 8, which is a action item, golf course driving range fence. Mr. Gordon's not here, so Mr. Bunker or Chandler, you're doing it.
Just real quick to review Greg Gordon's email from last council meeting where we discussed the options. It looked like, and I think that you all received the options, there was the option of just replacing the five or extending the nets, raising them five sections, and that was the grand total, the estimate was $28,573. The other option was to raise all of the poles, and that option came out to $48,350. Greg?
I'm sorry, what was the first option?
The first option was to raise five of the poles.
And that was how much, though?
$28,573. Now, a lot of that cost is taken up in the mobilization. So just because you're doing half the work doesn't mean the cost is necessarily half. It really depends on how much equipment they have to bring out and what the costs are to bring people out here. Now, the direction we got from the council last meeting was how is this going to be paid for? I spoke with Charles today. He couldn't be here. They're attending a conference down in St. George for the government finance officers. And it really is going to come out of the unrestricted fund balance, which is where it would come out of. But currently, and this is where the council needs to prioritize, is the projects we have currently funded from the unrestricted fund balance would be the maintenance shed, which from the work session you can tell there's a need there for that, just for alone from the stormwater perspective, but also Bay Hill Park. Currently, those two projects are being funded out of the capital projects unrestricted fund balance. We have the unrestricted fund balance available for projects. This is a spreadsheet I got off of the server from Charles, was $613,000. Now, one of the problems we have is, as of right now, we don't have a bid for the maintenance shed, and we don't have a bid for Bay Hill Park. Bay Hill Park is very close to having their 90% submittals, or 90% their drawings for 90% completion. So we hope that that's actually going to go out probably in the next month, I would assume. The changes from 50% to 90% were very minimal, so we expect that to go out very soon. So we're hoping to get bids on that, you know, in the short term. The maintenance shed, David, can you speak to when those bids will come in?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Absolutely.
When did Greg send that email? I don't have an email from him.
You know what? This one went to David. So okay. No, you didn't get to say no.
Sorry.
I think that was prior to last council meeting, which I was not at the last council meeting. So.
It was right before the council meeting.
I apologize. I didn't look at the two there. I just got this email today.
Okay.
So on that,
we have a architectural rendering on the maintenance building, and it is going to be within the city limits of Highland. So we have submitted those over to Highland to make sure that we're not going to have any issues. The original request back in 2002 was for a building which matched the Highland City Public Works building, which is on the north side of SR 92 there by their Highland irrigation pond. The building that is being proposed is much smaller than that. So as far as size goes, we should be fine. The difference is we're trying to be very economical with the maintenance building. It's a steel building. And so it doesn't look as fancy, possibly, as Highland City's Public Works building across the street. So we're just making sure that we would get approved as part of the conditional permit that was issued back then, that it would comply. So it's in Highland's hands, and we're waiting for a word back from them.
One other item that is being funded out of the unrestricted fund balance would be potential legal costs that the city could incur in the near future. With those three uncertainties, because we don't have solid bids for Bay Hill Park, because we don't have solid bids for the maintenance shed, and because our legal fees are kind of in limbo right now, the unrestricted fund balance is, you know, important to know, to prioritize what the council wants to do with that money. So that's kind of where we are at this point. So,
what is the unrestricted fund balance right now, you said?
Based on the spreadsheet that I have, and I don't want to say it's a hard, fast number, but what I've got is $613,501.
So Greg, at one point, had talked about the amounts, but then had said that there was some of it that would be
traded.
And yeah. So what are those amounts?
He's showing in both instances trades with Niels Fugel. They're the ones that actually do the polls. They're based out of Pleasant Grove. West Coast Netting would be the nets, but I don't know that they are available for trade because they're not a local company. So theirs is a big mobilization cost. However, Niels Fugel, it looks like they're trying to do two years worth of corporate passes for them. The value of that, which would be $15,000. However, that would still show up as expenditures, revenues on the golf budget.
Right. I'm just trying to get an idea of actual cash that we're trying to.
Yeah.
So to raise just five poles and five nets, approximately $28,000.
Correct.
All nets are approximately $48,000. And for both scenarios, trade about approximately $15,000.
Yeah. In both scenarios, we would hope to trade. And now that's completely up to Niels Fugel.
Right.
We can't force that on them, obviously.
I have a question. Suppose we thought that seven poles, raising seven, would be a little bit better. I assume it would be in between those two prices.
Yeah. But where exactly, I'm not sure. I would imagine in the mid-30s.
Yeah. And then another question I have is, I really didn't understand last time why we wouldn't just tear out those smaller poles and put in taller ones. Why we'd have to have nets, a new set of nets in front of those. I didn't quite catch why that would be better than just replacing the ones that are there.
My understanding is that we would tear out those poles and put in
the smaller ones.
Is that not the case?
No, he's gonna set them in between, because as I understood it, the bottom net stays the same.
The bottom net would stay the same.
But the taller poles could go in between, and then you would sort of attach the net.
Oh, so it'd be a freestanding net on the top.
Yeah, on the bigger poles.
So you're essentially getting the same product.
Won't look as nice.
It won't look as nice. But additionally, as you look at those poles, I think the lifespan on those poles is about 10 years. Is what I've remembered from our last discussion about a couple of years ago. So there, you can see which ones were replaced last time we did this, and which ones are going to be in need of replace. So that's coming up too.
But why couldn't we just replace the smaller poles with larger poles and make it look more uniform and still use the same bottom net and just add to the top?
Yeah,
I think you can.
I think you can.
I don't see why you can't do that. You would still need to get the custom net for the remaining, because the bottom, the net that's along there is brand new. It's
right. Right. We'd want to keep that.
So you would still need the custom net to for the raised portion.
Yeah. That seems more logical, but I don't know if it'd be more expensive.
But in that case, you're still paying for the same amount of equipment There may be an additional cost for removal of the old poles.
That's what I'm wondering. Is that it? Jeff's got comments behind it.
Could you sell those old poles, though?
When Greg was discussing that, the pole option, I think it was the poles there now are on 50-foot spacing. The new poles would be on a 75-foot spacing, so they would eliminate the cost of one of the poles. If they did five.
Which
they
might be what, maybe $5,000?
I don't know what the cost is. I just, when he talked about it, that was the reasoning behind adding the new poles.
And is the reason that you can span wider is because there's less net to support?
Correct. Yes.
Because we would only do the net above the existing net.
Well, yeah, which is similar to this. They're two separate nets on the ones we did before, but that was my understanding from him was we would reduce the number of pole installations.
But then we'd have double the amount of poles to maintain over the years. It seems like it'd more expensive in the long run, so to me.
That's just the information I had, why they was going to add that on 75-foot spacing.
I think I'd be more in favor of just replacing the poles that exist with taller ones. That's my thoughts.
Mr. Goodwin, do you have some more to say?
That's it. Are there any questions I can answer?
So when we talked about this before, was it 5 or 7 nets that we were looking at extending?
When you're saying before, what?
I mean, we've had this conversation a few times now, but I thought that the last time we had, and I missed the last meeting as well, but I thought the last time we had discussed this that we were leaning towards it, that it didn't make sense to raise all the fences or all the nets because the further down you go, you're less likely
to clear that net.
Right, and so I can't remember if we were talking about 5. For some reason, I thought it was 7 as well.
The $28,000 bid is for 7 existing panels, and it looks like 6 poles.
6 poles and 7 nets.
So.
Ross County. Yeah.
So here,
then a full replacement would be 11 panels and then 10 poles.
So the 28 then gets us to about the intersection area.
28,000 is removed. It's one pole short of the intersection, I'd say.
So in order to get.
But even that's fairly far down to clear the net. And that's a pretty solid shot.
So if the council chooses to do this, then think long term. I mean, we addressed this a year or so ago, thought we'd solve the problem, and here we are again. And so we really need to figure out if you are going to do this. I'm not convinced that you should, but if you are going to do this, then if we only do 5, are we going to come back in a couple of years and say, now we've got to do the rest of it? And that's going to cost significant money as well. And so
so I'm just looking, if let's say we decided to do all, that's 48,000. If we were able to do the 15,000 in trade, and then as I mentioned during my city report, one thing that we had budgeted that's in the tentative fiscal year budget right now is 20,000 for an additional staff member. And if we are going to take that out, if we apply that to that, that leaves us now at 13,000.
I think that's admirable. Here's my thoughts. I spoke with someone who runs a golf course and said, and so they said, have you put up a camera yet? And a sign that says, you're being watched. You need to make sure that you watch where your balls are being hit. And they also recommended putting nice looking, like wooden barrels or whatever out there for people to aim to, because yardage markers, people don't aim for those. It tells them how far they're hitting the ball, but they don't aim for them. So
Gary,
can I finish?
Go ahead, finish it.
So I've always thought that Mr. Haar made some recommendations, and we should try some of those before you go to the final result. Now, if you guys want to do it, go ahead and do it. I just don't know if it's a good way to run a city to continually take money out of unrestricted funds, but go ahead.
Yeah, so let me explain my perspective on the two things you mentioned. You mentioned putting some barrels out, and you mentioned putting some cameras and some signs and saying, hey, we're watching you.
Yes.
And the problem is that's only going to work if people are purposely aiming to go over the fence. And from my experience, it's people who are aiming to try to go straight, but they have a terrible slice and it goes over the fence. And that's exactly the case for me. You could put a barrel out there all you want. I will certainly aim for it. There's no way I'm hitting it. No matter how hard I try, it's hooking it, it's slicing and it's going right over that fence and onto the road. The other issue there with, hey, golfers don't know where the balls are going, well, that's because I can't see where the ball is going. It's a really tiny ball, and I've tried following my ball as I slice it, and I have no idea where it's gone. It might have gone straight. It might have gone over the fence. I really couldn't tell you. And if it bounced in the street, I really wouldn't know. I don't think those things are going to be very effective, and that's why I'm not convinced to spend more time trying them out.
Yeah. I mean, you could be right, but you're not an expert. I'm not an expert. So it's anecdotal.
I'm just going based on my own experience.
It's anecdotal information on both of our parts. And so I just think that you try some simple things before you go to from A to Z. So, but Mr. Geddes made a good point last time that he didn't quite buy into the public safety issue, because by the time it clears the net and bounces on the street and makes it to the field, it's lost all of its velocity. That may be true. I don't know. So, I'm not convinced to put up the nets, but if you chose to, then Mrs. Reese made a compelling argument in terms of where money could come from. You're still short, and so you got to figure out where that money's going to come from. And Chandler mentioned that there's two projects. Maybe take some from each of those projects equally. So
the only problem with that I see is that we don't know the cost of either of those yet, because they haven't gone to bid.
You don't know the what?
We don't know the cost of either of those projects because they haven't gone to bid yet, so we don't really know.
On you mean the park?
Bay Hill Park.
And, true. And that's where the council should set some budget parameters in terms of here's what you want, but you got to look at it in terms of what you can afford, right?
Yeah.
And so if the bids come back for the park or for the maintenance building higher than what you're prepared to spend, then you change the bid, right?
Yeah. And the scope. You change the scope.
Instead of just allocating more money towards it,
yeah,
I think you change what you're asking.
The scope of the work, yeah. So here's where I am on that. And I obviously I'm a golfer. So because I knew this was coming up, I took my clubs to the range before the meeting tonight just to get another feel for it. And so I purposely, so golf staff has put all the yard markers way left now. So they're you know, and I do aim at, I try to aim at the yard markers. So I think that helps a little bit. I tend to agree with Daniel that sometimes you don't really know where your ball is going to go. I mean, and so I actually hit, of the half a bucket I hit one over the fence, you know, inadvertently. I tried to watch it. I saw that it bounced on the road in front of a car. And I don't know where it ended up. But, you know, if the guy came around and said, hey, a ball hit my windshield, I would have been responsible for my ball. But, you know, I don't think it hit his windshield or anything. But my point is, and the one that I hit over, if the net had been high for at least three or four more sections, it would have not gone over from where I was hitting. So, you know, I'm the one thing I would like to give staff direction if we move forward with this, and I mean, I'm in favor of it, is that maybe there is some logic to, and I think what Rob is saying for the aesthetic side of it, I mean, maybe those small poles can be taken out one by one and replaced with a big one in the same hole, so that it looks a little bit better. But I don't know. I don't know if that's ever been explored. But you know, Greg's the one that's talked to those folks.
Greg's done all the discussion with any contractor. So I
know he's out of the country for a couple more weeks or something. So
I think till the end of next week.
So I'm just going to add my thoughts to that as well. I just kind of echo what Daniel said. I was out meeting with Mr. Haar one time, and there were a couple of balls that came over, and I asked, because I don't golf, and so I asked Greg, why, if these golfers have seen that their golf ball is going over the fence and one of them did hit something. Why aren't they coming and saying, sorry, I need to take responsibility? And he said they can't see where their balls are going. They can't see that they've caused damage or they've hit something, so they don't know. And my concern with the cameras is just, I think you'd have to have, in order to prove a case against someone, you'd have to have a camera that was able to identify this particular person hit this particular ball that went this particular route and hit this particular person or thing. And that's impossible to do with a camera.
It'd be impossible, absolutely.
So there's no way to really hold anyone accountable without basically having cameras every surrounding the driving range. If we decided to just raise the nets, that the first five or even maybe the seven, let's say it gets closer to the $35,000. If we go to $35,000, we have $15,000 in trades. That leaves us with 20, which again is exactly equal to exactly that right. communications person. And so that covers $35,000. I still think it makes sense. I know Daniel read my statement last time. I feel it makes sense for us to do what we can to mitigate impact on surrounding neighbors, people who are walking and driving on Cottonwood. We require other businesses to do the same thing to mitigate impact. We can't eliminate it. We can't eliminate anything, right? We install traffic lights and stop signs and speed limits to mitigate risk. We cannot eliminate accidents. We cannot eliminate fatalities. We do these things to mitigate. And so my hope is that the council will agree to install at least down to the intersection where we see most of those balls are going over the fence.
So I think that the point of the cameras is not to identify where that goes, because that's, I think you're right. It won't be able to identify exactly where the ball goes, because that's not the point. So the person that I talked to that runs a golf course says, you're trying to change behavior. That's what you're trying to do, is by putting up a camera and putting something out there for them to hit. Yardage markers is not something for people to hit.
I think it would be far more effective if we gave people free golf lessons and then we'll change behavior.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. But so that's the intent of what I'm saying is we're trying to change people's behavior. I think Mrs. Reese is right. You're never going to eliminate every single ball not going over the nets. That won't happen. So that's our goal, then we should give up on that, because I don't think that's going to happen. If our goal is to more minimize, because we should recognize that we already have mitigated risk. We did put up nets. We raised them once. And now we're wanting to mitigate again. So we have done similar things that we would ask a reasonable business to mitigate risk. So
I want to make a comment too. Can you
speak up a little bit?
Are you done? I was going to.
I am finished.
Okay. So I went and hit probably 80 balls on Saturday, and I was aiming for the targets. And I'm not a good golfer, but I also can't hit far, so that kind of mitigates my risk a little bit. But none of mine went over. I think it's because I was aiming for the targets, and a couple of them almost went over, and it scared me enough because I don't want to hit anybody. You know, it reminds me of that poem. I shot an arrow in the air. It fell to earth. I knew not where. You know, and anyway, it scares me to death that it would hit somebody or a car or mostly a person. But I think it's dangerous for us not to do anything. And I was out there with Mr. Haar on Monday. We were looking at where they could cross over, and I wouldn't be comfortable unless it was at least six. Seven, ideally, I guess. I don't think we'd want to go more than that, because the ones on the end I don't think are going to stop anything from hurting anybody. So six or seven is where I would suggest we go with it. And I'd say we try it. And as far as purposefully hitting it over versus on accident, I've heard reports from people that golf here a lot saying where they've seen people hitting them over on purpose, teenagers or whatnot. I think it happens. I don't know how often it happens, but it does happen. And I would say let's start with the nets, change them. If we're still having issues, I think that we would go to the we at least go to the sign and say you're responsible for what you hit, and then add a camera if it still is not solving the problem. And I think once we've done that, we've done our due diligence. So anyway, that's where I feel comfortable with it.
I think those signs are already there. We've placed those already.
I don't know why I never noticed them. I didn't see them when I went.
Well, I'm pretty sure, I think I've heard Greg say that they're there. When I was the rec director, I just want to point this out, that when I was the rec director a number of years ago, I did see golf balls in the park, but they were on the very northern end of the very west corner. Mm-hmm. And I was over there tonight for Todd Soccer, and I'll tell you that when they're playing soccer, there's almost nobody there. I've never seen a ball land directly into the park without hitting the street and losing all its velocity, so I don't think that people are clearing the net that far to the east. I don't think that that's happening.
Mr. Har has seen it happen, personally.
I think that's right? A very rare instance.
Right. Well, when I went up there, there was five up there at the top, and they can't get to the top clear in the middle of the field just by bouncing from the street, I don't believe. I think people are hitting that far. They probably go down to the further up than the tee boxes, but
I've never seen that,
happening.
Just it's a pretty big poke to get it to the...
Yeah.
Well, I believe Mr. Hart read an email. He sent me a copy from the Stars United Soccer Club that they had mentioned that it's enough of a concern to them that their board is talking about the safety of their players. They're worried. And I don't know if they've seen instances where it's come directly over, but it's interesting that they're talking about it as well separately from us having this discussion.
I think if you're going to say that, I just don't think that you're going to mitigate all of the risk.
No, so, but like I said, traffic lights don't either, right? I mean, we can't ever mitigate or eliminate risk.
There will still be balls going over the fence. I just think that the number of balls that are going that far to the east are very small because that is a good hit. And most of the people that
I think you're right. I mean, the velocity definitely diminishes as it goes that far.
It's actually a
very good bad hit.
So I'm going to not try and convince anymore. I think you guys know where I stand. I think it sets a precedent that is dangerous for the city. And you may be approached by other residents at some point who want to be comforted as well.
I'm not worried at all about that because we're not protecting a single resident. We're protecting those who use our streets, our trails, and our parks.
Yeah, that's because the message has changed, Daniel. When the message first started, it was about protecting a home, and now it's changed to public safety.
Well, I think that's come from doing research. I don't think that's fair to say. I'm going to bite my tongue here. I think that there have been multiple people who have spent a lot of time trying to research this issue, meet with people who have been involved, and as we have done so, more information has come to light that has shaped that opinion. I don't think that's wrong. I think that's how we should face every issue that comes to us.
When I first moved here, Cottonwood Drive was not put through.
Right.
It was a nice, quiet, dead end at the end of my street. I liked it a lot. We had very little traffic. We knew when we bought our house that the street would be put through, so we had no complaints when that increased the traffic. But what that means is that when they built the course and they put up the original netting, there was no complaints from anybody that the netting was too low because there was nobody there. It was just an empty field that no one walked through that area. The reason we're having more complaints now, and these are not the only residents that are complaining, we had a resident complain that he was trying to take some pictures, and he was standing near the street on the sidewalk and got hit by a ball, or nearly hit by a ball. This is increasing now because our course is becoming more popular, and because the street has been through, the trail has been put along there, the parks are there now. It's not an issue with just a single resident who's come and complained to us about their house.
Okay. I think it's a slippery slope, and always beware of unintended consequences. Yeah. Someone else.
I'd like to say my, and I believe there's the votes to pass this. But one thing that I'm not a golf expert on the nets, and I don't think anybody that is sitting up here actually is. If we're going to be if we're going to be earmarking money, especially money that we haven't earmarked, I would like to see a professional company come in and say, this is what needs to be done. And I think that David, Mr. Bunker and his staff, if we gave them direction on what can we do to mitigate this problem the most, I think that would benefit the city the best. I mean, the whole idea is to get less golf balls across the nets, correct?
Right.
That's the whole idea. Whether it's cameras, whether it's sense, I don't think anybody up here actually knows. You know, going out there and watching a few golf balls here or there, the best answer maybe to shut down the golf driving range. I don't know. I do agree with the mayor on the safety issue. I looked up the runs. Not one time in the last 13 years have we ever responded, our ambulance ever responded on any golf ball related incidents. But over the last 3 weeks, we've had a few people pass away in our area, and we do have other issues in the city that if we're going to bring it into public safety, we have bigger pressing issues that are actually hurting and fatally injuring our residents. I'd be more than happy to share them with you. So what I would like to see is that we give staff direction on how to best mitigate at the lowest possible price the balls going across the net, and not think that we're the experts on, okay, raising the nets, that's going to do it, because what I see is that raising the nets isn't going to do it. It'll cut it down a little bit, but I think we need to go more beyond that. I think we need to get someone in here, pay them what they need to actually give us professional counsel on what are we going to do to keep the people south of the driving range safer, and not just throw money at something and say, okay, raise 5 nets. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, here's a little bit more money. Raise the next three things in nets. And that's what I see that's been happened over the last, before I got onto council, was, you know, these 5 or 6 poles here got raised. Okay, that's going to sign it. Well, it didn't. And who's to say that the next 6 poles or 11 poles, that's going to do it? I think that there's people out there that can actually scientifically figure out what best to do, and that's what I'd like to see.
Okay. Any other comments? So if not, I'm open to somebody making a motion.
I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
That we approve funding for the driving range. I'd like to set that limit at like 33,000, because I think that takes us to zero if we use the 20,000 for this, the funds that we freed up tonight.
So the 33,000, did that include trade?
And that would include the trade. There's 13,000 in trade and then 20,000 of unrestricted funds.
So you're talking about 5 nets then?
Maybe 6. I don't know sure exactly
how.
Yeah,
5 nets was 28,000. I was saying 35,000 would do closer to 7 nets.
Yeah.
But we're just assuming.
So anyway, I'd like to make a motion that we approve up to 33,000.
I got a comment on that. If we're going to do it, we might as well just do the whole thing. Because 5 nets, there's a good chance that that's not going to work. And we're going to have to do it anyways. If we're going to do it, let's do the whole thing. Let's do it right.
Well, I think 5 or 6 protects the up to the intersection, which is what we're concerned about, and it protects the property. So that's where I'm coming from.
Those 5 are supposed to protect everything. And
I think there was a miscalculation on the first one.
I do too. I feel stupid because I was on the council then.
And that's my point.
I think
we
should have
looked
at it
closer. Someone in here.
It didn't make sense at all, because most of the balls that go over further back. They don't go exactly sideways like those are. So I think we made a mistake there. I think we've really talked through it this time, and we've had, you know, a lot of us have talked to Mr. Hart, a lot of us have gone there, we've seen about where the balls end up. The ones, the net's clear on the end, raising it won't solve much, because once they're getting over the net that far, they're just going to land in the field just a few feet further than the net. They're not the ones that are going clear over to where they're endangering
but
people.
But Rob, you don't know that. You're guessing that. You're not a scientist. You don't know that.
Well, just the trajectory of where it's from and going, it makes logical sense, though.
Your wife on Facebook today says she got hit in the church parking lot. It's right there on Facebook that she got hit.
She got hit by a ball in her car.
In the church parking lot.
She pulled out of it. It was right on the main road there.
Like I say, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it right and just bury this issue forever.
Just a point of order.
I don't think it will ever be buried, Ben. So the comment to yours, I mean, we can get all scientific about it, but I think, you know, at this point, our staff has done a pretty good job of you know, they're better experts than most of us because they've dealt with it. So,
but they haven't said five. They haven't come out and said five will do it.
They've recommended five or six
or seven or eight or 11. Right. They've recommended all the way down.
Our recommendation is to try to keep it within a reason, and that's all I'm saying. That's why I'm making my recommendation. So,
and David, what is the recommendation?
Can I ask
staff?
For a point of order? A motion was made. Discussion usually doesn't happen until after it's been seconded or not. We didn't even get that to that point.
Yeah.
Can I second it now?
Did you complete your motion?
My motion is complete. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I will second that.
And that was including trade?
That would include trade.
Okay.
All right. So
I will second that.
I have a motion for $33,000, which includes trade, to do five, maybe six nets. Is that correct?
Correct.
But no more than $33,000.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay. I have a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah. I just want clarification, Mike. When you say that includes trade, are you saying we don't spend more than $33,000? You're saying we can spend $33,000 in cash plus $15,000 in trade?
No.
Just $33,000
total. Okay. I would ask that it be adjusted a little bit, though, to be at least six. I would suggest that we at least make it a six poles and fit six new nets, because I think that we would regret not going at least six.
So can I amend my motion then?
You can amend your motion. I think Mr. Hara wants to say something.
I just want to clarify. My understanding is that Greg said five poles.
Six sections.
What?
Five poles, six sections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, so it's different. Five nets would be not as much distance as five poles, because five poles in between a pole is 75 feet, from my understanding, rather than the 50 feet that we have. So if you have five poles, it's really going to be the equivalent of six or seven of the current sections, which take it further. So we're saying five nets when it's really five poles, which is really going to extend
six sections
further east.
Okay, thank you.
And we also need to know whether it's feasible cost-wise to replace
the small poles. That's why. Okay, so here's what I would. Here's why I'd like to amend it to take it up to $35,000, which gives the staff a little bit of discretion to kind of answer these questions that we raise, whether these small poles can actually come out, and then we would replace them with big ones.
Okay, so you're amending your motion to $35,000?
$35,000, yes.
Which does include $15,000 of trade.
$13,000.
Which we're not sure that they're going to take.
Right. Right. I mean, which potentially could be some trade.
Okay. Which means that it's possible that with the amount that is coming back into the budget, because we're not hiring someone, of around $20,000, then you could have an additional $15,000, which is coming out of unrestricted funds.
Which is the worst case scenario.
So you should identify then where those unrestricted funds should come from.
You've got
two projects that I'm being told are being considered.
So I don't think that takes up the entire unrestricted fund balance, those two projects.
Say that again?
I don't believe those two projects take up the entire unrestricted fund.
So you're saying to leave the project exactly as is and then take even more money out of the unrestricted funds?
Yes.
Okay.
If there isn't a trade, but I've heard that there is a strong likelihood that there will be a trade.
Okay.
And I would if the trade doesn't occur, then it comes back to the council for further discussion.
Sure. But if we approve it tonight, then it doesn't come back to the council, because you're saying up to $35,000 is what you're going to spend. So are you saying then if trade doesn't come, does your motion then say if trade does not occur, that it must come back to the council in order to approve that additional.
I would make that amendment to my motion then.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion. Is there a second on that amended motion?
I'll second it again with that amendment.
Motion has been seconded. Any further discussion?
Yeah. Mr. Bunker, what does staff feel about this?
We will proceed however the council would like us to proceed. And we will work on getting the trade and securing that. And if we don't, we'll bring it back to the council.
Okay, but is this motion gonna take care of the needs of the safety, not only the safety needs, but also the HARS needs as well?
You know, it's difficult. The nets that we put up initially, like was mentioned, we thought that would be a substantial increase in safety. Obviously, it's not what we needed. So I'm not an expert in golf. We'd have to rely on someone who is. Wade is an expert in golf. I personally think if we get past that intersection with higher nets, that will be a significant increase in safety. Will it stop every ball? I do not think raising the nets will stop every ball.
So if Wade is the expert, has he weighed in on this?
Yes.
What was his recommendation?
His concern is putting more and more funding into the nets when it really, it just opens up the city as far as, hey, who's the what's the next issue where the city has to go and do something on the golf course? He's concerned that it just opens up, you know, another person to say, hey, you've got to do something else on the golf course. So he's just concerned about that.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Could you clarify the amendment?
For extending the budget to $35,000, but was there something else?
Yes, I think $13,000 is what was stated as potential trade.
$15,000
in trade.
And if that doesn't happen,
it would come back to council.
So my question here, forgive me for belaboring this issue. I'm wondering why we're trying to approve a dollar amount today when we still have questions like, can we replace the existing poles and put in new ones? So I'm wondering why we're not just directing staff to, hey, come back next meeting with a really solid estimate on what we would like to do, and then we'll know the amount. We'll know whether there's a trade.
I think it just encompasses what they have got bids on, so that they can work within the parameters of this budget. That's my logic.
It may help them with the negotiating, too. If they say this is what is approved, this is what we need to accomplish, maybe they'll get someone to say, okay, it's like lower than we want to go, but we can do it. It might help. Then they have to go back for another negotiation if they can't fit those parameters.
Yeah, I agree.
And again, if it comes back at more than that, then we discuss it again.
Yep.
If you don't like the motion, you can vote against it.
I have one last comment.
My strong preference is to replace the existing poles, and so I do not want to allocate $35,000 if it goes to putting in new poles and leaving the existing poles there.
I'm leaning that way too.
So I would ask to amend the motion to have it come back to the council if it turns out that they find out that it's going to be significantly more expensive to replace the poles. If they can do it in this amount with replacing the existing poles, I'm happy with it. But if it turns out that they're going to have to do something more, I want to know.
You want to accept that, Mike, or are you not
yeah,
want to accept?
I'll accept that. I'll accept that motion.
Okay.
Just because Greg's not here, so.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll second it again.
Say quickly?
Well, I think the issue is the nets are 75 feet wide. So, and these are 50 feet wide. I don't know,
you're covering more space is what you're saying.
Well, if you're replacing the existing poles, you can't use the same poles because it's 75 feet versus 50 feet, so you got to put another.
Yeah, so I want to know the answers to that question.
I do too.
Okay, I'll try and summarize your motion. You're authorizing $35,000 to spend on replacing poles.
And a new net.
And so five poles, six sections, right?
Possibly six. We don't know for sure.
Okay. Of which 15,000 possibly could come out of trade. If the trade does not work out, it must come back to the council for approval. Daniel is saying that if the cost is going to exceed the $35,000, it must come back to the council for further direction.
And there's one more piece to that. If the poles can't go into the where the small if the small poles can't be replaced with larger ones, it needs to come back to the council.
Okay. All right. I think. Can you speak up a little bit?
Can I read back the motion as
yes.
I have it written?
Okay. Into the microphone, please.
She doesn't have this one. Okay. So the initial motion was to approve funding for the driving range for up to $33,000, including trade. That was amended to extend the budget to $35,000 and to bring it back to the council if the $15,000 trade is not approved. And then further amended to have the proposal come back to the council if the allocated budget cannot cover replacing the poles.
Yes,
the small poles.
Okay, Mr. Shaw, you wanted to say something.
No.
Oh, I thought you did. Very good. Okay, so I have a motion. It's been seconded. We've had discussion. Is there any further discussion? If not, I want to take a vote. Okay? I'm going to start with Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Bailey.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Congratulations. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel, we did talk about zoning ordinance and the general plan documents we've been working on. Do you need to discuss that more, or are you waiting to hear back for our second legal review?
I only need to discuss it here if anyone on the council has some input to share with me tonight.
Does anyone have questions on that?
If not, go back and read those documents with a fine-tooth comb and get me some comments.
I went through them and I did not have any changes.
So I suggest the rest of the council do that as well.
Okay. I have a question for Daniel on that. The comments, I've read through it, and I saw the comments that were given from the Planning Commission, and I really liked them as long as those have all been implemented. I haven't read it since.
Yeah, those are all
If those are all implemented without major changes besides their suggestions, yep. Then I thought it was great. So.
Okay.
Okay, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much.
No, we're good.
I know.